Welcome to the Advisory Accelerator Podcast, designed to help CPAs who serve clients interested in non-traditional services. If you're a public accountant looking to drive more value into existing client relationships, then tune in for tips on accelerating your advisory service offerings. Now, here's your host, Jeff Paulo.
On this edition of the Advisory Accelerator Podcast, we connect with Bob Rubin of Your401ksource.com. Bob's firm partners with accounting firms to help them offer 401k services to their clients and can also help them with their own 401k programs to make sure they're as impactful as possible. This one's a little bit special, as Bob is the gentleman who is the architect of our program at Engineered Advisory and all of our related companies. He does a fantastic job, and I think you will enjoy listening to what he has to say. Take a listen to learn more about what it takes to accelerate your firm's advisory practice. Well, hello again, everybody. This is Jeff Paulo, and I'm the president of the Engineered Advisory family of companies and your host for the Advisory Accelerator Podcast, a show that works to help CPAs become more advisory-minded in their practices. And on today's show, I'm happy to welcome Bob Rubin of Your401ksource.com. Bob's firm actually does our 401k work at Engineered Advisory and all of the related companies, so we've got deep familiarity with him. He does a fantastic job, and I'm looking forward to introducing him to you today. Bob, welcome to the Advisory Accelerator Podcast.
Thank you, Jeff. Looking forward to this.
You know, it's interesting. Our guests are CPAs, and they're the CPAs who are looking to be more advisory-minded, to get out of the compliance aspect of their practices. And I would venture to bet every CPA has clients, multiple business clients, that are doing a 401k, offering that to their employees. It seems to be more the exception, or not the exception, but the rule at this point. And so I look at this and I think, if you're an accounting firm and you kind of want to get into the advisory line of business, there is no lower hanging fruit than being able to help your clients with their 401k. What are you seeing in the market?
Well, I'd agree with that also. I think that a lot of CPAs in the past have been reluctant to get involved with a 401k because they might see that as non-billable hours and they might not be able to show value in that process. But the ones that want to get more advisory are definitely not going down that road, and they are getting more involved with different aspects of the client's business to be able to show value in the relationship, whether it's 401ks, any kind of retirement plan, et cetera. So our more successful engagements are ones in which the CPA is involved. And we like that.
You know, it's interesting. In a not so distant past, I remember when firms really struggled as to whether or not to get into the whole wealth management and financial services arena. And today, more and more firms just see that as something that people are turning to their CPA for. And as a result, they've partnered with other firms to help them expand their offerings into this wealth management financial services area, which obviously includes 401k. Talk a little bit about how you partner with CPA firms to accomplish that.
So there's a couple different types of partnerships that CPAs enter into. They become licensed. That's one way, and they will start selling product, if you will. And then other CPAs will partner without getting licensed in the actual field. So whether it's securities or advisory, whatever that might be, we actually can partner with both, whether they are licensed or not. In some states, it is required that one of the partners of the firm or the partner needs to get a basic license or just a solicitation agreement. So it depends on which states we're talking about. And generally, the CPAs who have started coming aboard and like that partnering, I think the client benefits from that greatly. You know, versus a lot of stuff was done in a vacuum. Now you have the different professionals looking at different aspects of the client situation and the company situation, and able to look at it from many different aspects, thereby providing a better outcome for the client.
Yeah, it's amazing how much the clients are turning to the CPAs to be that hub of the advisory wheel. And, you know, as you'll find out when you speak at our upcoming Accelerator Conference in August, they're thirsty for a way to be able to expand their offerings, but also hesitant because there isn't a ton of non-billable time laying around that they can't figure out what to do with. Everybody is very busy. And in our experience, the relationships that work are ones that build a high level of trust. And then we let the individual experts do what they do best, keeping open lines of communication so the right hand knows what the left hand is doing, et cetera. But it really seems like you've got a model worked out where you partner with a firm to become an extension of the firm, but bring some technical expertise that they wouldn't otherwise have in-house.
Yes. You know, we don't require, I guess is a better way to put it, a lot of the CPA's time other than the introduction and to sort of figure out, you know, whether there's a need there or not, which I guess we'll get into that a little bit later. But as far as the time requirement, the overall time requirement from the CPA, there really isn't that much. And I could even advocate that the time that's spent with the client, a lot of them get what I call the, oh, by the way. In other words, client says, oh, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad we're having this discussion because of just pick any number of things. I'd like you to look at this. I'd like you to look at that or whatever it might be, which has nothing to do with the 401k, which they perceive as non-billing. That's fine. But they just did get billable hours from whatever the client brought up that they want taken care of. So we do get the, oh, by the ways quite a bit.
Got it. All right. Before we jump into the mechanics of how all of this works, let's bring it back up to a high level. Just let our listeners get to know you a little bit. Maybe you could share a brief overview of your background and the path that kind of led you to doing what you're doing today.
Okay, I can do that. So I guess I would say ever since college, I knew I wanted to be in sort of a financial advisory type business. And I started out in the payroll business, doing payroll for other companies, kind of like ADP. And the short story is I was calling on a prospect, which was actually a life insurance company, and I ended up going to work there. That position as an agent morphed into management and securities. I earned my 7, my 63, and my Series 8. The Series 8's a compliance test, or you're sort of a compliance supervisor. I became responsible for supervising lots of brokers involving compliance issues, which led me to becoming a financial advisor, which led me to Principal Financial Group, which at the time was the biggest provider of 401ks in the business. Did that for 7 years, was hired by First Union, which became Wachovia, was a senior vice president there, which I did that for 10 years. I was glad I was there, and I'm glad I'm not there anymore. I then opened my own firm that did two things, financial advisory for individuals and 401ks for businesses, and we have kind of merged those together. We've grown to over 130 million of assets, and we have thousands of 401k participants. So it's been a good ride. It's been fun.
So, Bob, I know you're based down in Florida. When were you founded?
We were founded in 2007. Down here in Florida.
So you've been around for a while. And employee headcount, what are you up to these days?
We're 4 employees. I'm proud of the fact that I outsource everything. So I have as few employees as I can, which is important for me at least.
So if I'm one of the CPAs, I'm getting to know you. I'm kind of working with you or one of the members of your small team.
Yeah. So exactly right. So when we do a 401k for a client, the first thing we figure out is who the record keeper is going to be. That's the sort of the front end of the thing. And that's a sort of the login that the administrator from the company sees. And then also the employee participant sees. So we leverage the record keeping process. There's other parts of the 401k, whether it's the investment aspect, other parts of the administration, some paperwork, some tax stuff and all that. But the record keeping is important. So we really leverage the record keeping aspect because that's the part that the participants see as an employee and what the administrator or administrators see from the employer and administration side.
Okay. So again, before we get too far down the rabbit hole here, let's do one more personal question just to let our audience get to know you a little bit better. What's one thing nobody knows about Bob Rubin that's pretty unique or special?
Well, I do regular tactical training sessions, basically running and gunning, using pistols and carbines together most of the time with static and moving targets. I do a lot. I probably shoot about 1,000 rounds a month.
Holy cow. Are you doing that in Florida or where are you traveling to do that?
We do some traveling, but most of it's in the middle part of the state, kind of in the middle of nowhere.
Well, that's probably good. Not a lot to hit out there. Maybe some alligators.
We're pretty good shots. We have some really good training people that we work with. It's all about keeping your family and yourself safe, and it's kind of zen-like for me.
Nice.
It's kind of cool.
All right, so let's pivot back to, I'm a CPA firm. I'm looking to be more advisory-oriented. I want to kind of get into this game. As I'm partnering with you, kind of take me through the core offering, talk about your target audience. You know, is there something demographically that you're looking for an ideal client? What are some of the triggers that I'd be looking for to find a good match between my client base and your organization?
Sure. So we do two things. We do personal wealth management, minimum size client base is $500,000. And we do retirement plans, mostly 401ks. And if it's 401ks, a lot of them, not most of them, but a lot of them are combined with other type of retirement plans to benefit and increase the amount of contribution that the key people can do. Our basic goal is to help people retire financially stress-free. That's what we try to do. So whether it's the guy that's running the company, and when I say guy, I'm being gender neutral, whether it's the guy running the company or it's any of the employees, from somebody making $30,000 a year to somebody making $300,000 a year, our goal is to help people retire financially stress-free. So our target audience, well, I guess from a 401k standpoint, our ideal client is a firm that has an existing 401k with probably at least $1 million in it and has, say, 20 employees or more. Generally, the firm would have had a 401k for a while, might have been somewhat ignored, it hasn't been looked at for a while, or they could have some issues. They might have flunked a compliance test. A lot of times the test that's flunked is what's called the average deferral percentage test, which is they gave too much money for the highly compensated people, in other words, there was too much contributions made, and they have what's called forced refunds, right? So that's sort of failing a test. You solve the fail by giving contributions back to the employees that were deducted from their pay. Employees don't like that. Companies don't like that. It's kind of it solves the problem, but they wanted to put the money away and now they're getting this money back and they're being taxed on it. So basically the target audience would be anybody that has a 401k of at least $1 million, at least 20 employees, and wants to do a better job with it.
And it's interesting, if I failed a compliance test, my guess is I don't have a robust relationship with my provider. They're probably being negligent in terms of their overview of the plan. And, you know, I'm probably treating it more like a commodity as opposed to the true value add that it is. You know, talk a little bit about how you work with your customers, you know, so they're not put into that situation.
Well, that's a good point. So what we find is that a lot of the 401ks that we take over, they'll have a record keeper. You have to have a record keeper, which is a group I mentioned before, and there's companies like John Hancock and Kuna, there's Emeritas. There's all sorts of companies that offer this record keeping process. Now, you also should have a financial advisor. You don't absolutely need to, but the reason why a financial advisor, a plan advisor, is so important is that person makes sure that all this stuff gets taken care of. So, for example, and this goes to our relationship with our clients and how we interact with them. So like you do preliminary, this ADP testing, average deferral percentage testing. You should do it like November, right? You should do it maybe even October. We generally do it at the beginning of November. And the reason why is you want to see if somebody's contributed too much money and you want to solve that problem before it happens, right? You don't want the problem to get any worse. You sort of nip it in the bud. So we actually, before the record keeper actually sends in or they receive the W-2 income, we would get it from the client earlier and we'll run the test really quickly. We'll have the record keeper run the test really quickly. It takes 15 minutes. It's not really a big deal. It's a phone call. It's getting an email. Talk to the record keeper. They're ready for us anyways. We have clients for years. Make sure that it's done. And then we check and we're good. So we try to nip that kind of problem in the bud. It's the same thing with the 5500. The 5500 is a tax form that has to be done, generally done, it's done in June. You know, it has to be done by June. Generally, not always. Starting in March, we start making sure that the information that's being requested from the record keepers, the record keeper actually will complete the 5500 for the client, but they can complete it as if they get all the information from the client. We make sure we get in the middle of that and make sure that information is getting up there and that the 5500 gets done. So we view our role in all this as somebody who is, and not just me doing this, I don't do a lot of the actual administrative service stuff, is being very proactive to make sure that that all this service stuff, all the compliance testing is all done.
And
the other part
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay. The other part that matters is a lot of our advanced plans have a combination of a 401k a profit-sharing component, and a defined benefit plan on top of that. And when you have those, you do have to do testing. You have to do it by the end of the year, but we generally do it. We're starting to do all, we're mostly finishing all of it right now for any of the plans that we have defined benefit plans in there, because it all sort of ties together. So we proactively make sure all that testing is done. So that's just an example of the stuff that we do on the administrative side.
And then as you've worked with clients, maybe give me, paint a picture for me of one of your highly successful engagements. Like, what contributed to the success? What were the outcomes? What's the one that you can kind of put on the mantle and say, you know, that's where we really maximized value to our client?
I think probably one of the coolest ones would be is we got a call from an estate planning attorney about 5 years ago, and he said he had this client. They had quite a bit of money in this 401k, and the client was upset because he wasn't failing tests, but he wasn't able to get, he thought he was giving too much money to the non-highly compensated employees as compared to the highly compensated, which he was a little bit. But the thing that his biggest complaint was is he wasn't benefiting his highly compensated employees, his key guys, and they were giving too much money to certain employees as to compare to other employees. And he just wanted to know if he could fix that. So after some discussions with this gentleman, there's a partnership involved, but I was dealing with one of the partners, it basically turned out that they wanted to put away a lot more money. They make an ungodly amount of money. And they also wanted to be able to sort of pick and choose a little bit. You can't 100% do it, but you can do it about 90%. So it was really cool because at the end of the day, he was really putting away next to nothing, like about $10,000 a year. His wife was putting away five, same as on the partner side. And at the end, when we were done, between the husband and wife, each side, they were putting away $175,000 a year, tax deductible contributions. And these people are in their mid-40s. They're not even like 60 or 70 years old. Because age matters a lot when you do this testing and you run these plans. So we were able to get over $175,000 for the both of them. And we were able to move money, not perfectly, but from people that he didn't want to get as much money to people who he did want to get money. So he got about 85%, 90% of what he wanted. And it was a really good outcome. We saw them as a client, and it's exciting because they're happy. You know, they're proactive, and we sit down with them every summer about what we're going to do. We sit down in the summer to what we're going to do for next year. Like he knows, let's figure this stuff out in advance because I really want to benefit on this thing. So he's really accumulating a lot of money in his plan.
That's fantastic. And that's so in line with what we're encouraging our CPA firm partners and managers to do, is to be proactively engaged with their clients. And, you know, here's a situation where this guy is not, it's suboptimal in terms of what he's doing, both personally and also in terms of the goals that he has for the business. And you're able to kind of construct a plan that accomplishes, like you said, 85 to 90% of what he was looking to do. And, you know, if you're sitting next to a CPA that you're partnered with and you're bringing this to the table and, you know, this is part of our value chain, I got to think that, you know, maybe he's not questioning the invoices he's getting from the CPA at the end of the month type of thing, because, you know, the more I interact with you, the more value is created, whether it's the core services or through my advisory network. And in this case, through the 401k, it's amazing. We had a client and we printed up t-shirts. It's amazing how much work occurs when I go out and talk to my client. And you've, I think, articulated that perfectly.
Yeah, and this one, there was, because they put so much money away between all the employees, it became a little bit of a cash flow issue. Not they couldn't afford it, but when we did it. So remember, we sit down with the accountant every year, and we kind of go over cash flow, and we just sort of model it out a little bit to see the best way to do it. Because sometimes we're not exactly sure. We don't know till the end of the year what the defined benefit contribution is going to be. So we sort of figuring it out, and we do 80% of it, 70%, whatever. So he's spending a couple hours figuring that out, and client loves it. I mean, good, right? And that's, they're doing the audit now, which, I'm not, you know, maybe somebody else should be doing the audit, but they're doing the audit on the plan. They have an audit part of the company. So no, there's business that all to develop because the attorney called me, we went in there, we got it started, and the CPA is great to work with too. So it's all good.
Now, one of the things that I know has traditionally been a barrier for CPAs to kind of partner with somebody in this area. And, you know, the timing for the question is good given what's going on in the markets lately. But when the client calls and says, hey, you know, I'm down for the year, you know, the market's collapsing or, you know, what have you, the accountants are kind of like, hey, I don't want to be in the position where they're unhappy with their investment allocation. And as a result of that, I lose my annual tax work or the audit or whatever the case may be. So talk a little bit about how you partner with not only the clients, but like your CPA partners to kind of bridge that gap, realizing that markets do fluctuate over time and that's just part of the expectation.
Well, you know, personally, because we interact on the investment side for all the employees, right? And so the CPA, at least when we, I don't know about with other advisors who work with plans, there has never been an issue where a CPA had anything to do with investment returns or what the investment options are going to be. They don't want to be involved. I would assume, I've never had it, want to be involved anywhere near that. That is our responsibility. That's our liability. If the market's down, we have to deal with that. If the market's up, we get that also. But, you know, we're very proactive on our investment communication. And so from the CPA standpoint, they shouldn't have any issues that with anything to do with the market being good or bad. That's our job. And, you know, I don't want them to feel like that's a potential liability that they have laying out there, not working with us.
And I appreciate that. But at the same time, if they introduced you, if they've partnered with you and they've introduced you to the client, they're going to feel that they're somewhat on the hook for that, you know, whether that's accurate or not. I know the concern exists. So just, you know, you've been great with us and our employees in terms of kind of forecasting what's going on in the market and helping everyone have the information they need to make the appropriate investment decisions for themselves. But what would you say to that CPA that's saying, hey, I'd like to get in the game. I like what I'm hearing from Bob, potentially partner with your 401ksource.com to offer this to my clients. But when the phone starts ringing, how is he going to handle that? And how is he going to, you know, be a good steward in terms of my service delivery team?
So as far as the investments go, well, I guess, first of all, anytime you refer business to anybody else, you, how that person does is affects your reputation, right? Because you're referring somebody to them and that person better perform or else you don't look good, right? We perform. I mean, we really work hard to benefit the client. And we also, and this is a little bit different what you're asking, but if we can't help somebody, we say that right off the bat. Say, you know, you're doing a great job. You're in the right spot. And, you know, we just back off. So that's the first thing. As far as the investments go, we, first of all, we bring in what's called a 338, which is an investment fiduciary. And the investment fiduciary is the firm that has the ultimate responsibility for choosing the investments, reviewing the investments, and taking out any investments that might not fit. So these are the investment choices that the participants have available for them to choose from. Right? Like, let's say there's 30 choices, you know, some stock funds, some bond funds, some target date funds, et cetera. So we use different 338 firms that actually have the fiduciary responsibility for choosing the funds, for reviewing them on a quarterly basis, and then whether we take some out, I work closely with them, but they have the ultimate fiduciary responsibility for doing that. So that's the first step that a CPA firm wouldn't have any fiduciary responsibility or any responsibility for that. Now, perceived responsibility, I understand part of the question. The next part is, from the investment choices that are given to the participants, that they choose, you know, the correct thing. Now, obviously, we don't know what the future is going to hold. We recommend as best as we can, you know, whether it's conservative or aggressive or moderate investments. We give them some strategies on which they should choose from. We have regular investment meetings, you know, Zoom calls. We explain to them, we tell them what's going on during the markets. We give them some choices as to some ways that they might want to invest. We answer their questions. And then obviously the record keeper also is part of what we do, has a lot of investment material on their website to help them choose properly from the different choices that are available. The last thing is, and people find this really hard to believe, is I personally, this is me, offers any participant, any of our 401k plan, and there are thousands of participants, they could set up, they can go to the website and set up a meeting, whatever they want, a call, and I will go over their investments for them. Julio said it to me. He says, how do you do that? That doesn't make any sense. I said, because very few people take advantage of it. I do one a week. I love doing those calls, by the way. I think they're fun. I love helping people, So when somebody sets up a call, and you know, I can generally do what's called a sys view. I go in, they log onto their system. I log into mine. I'm literally logging in as them, and I can help them make investment choices. So whether they want to do it themselves, whether they want to do it in a group fashion as far as part of our meetings, or whether they want individual one-on-one, we do a really good job of making sure that the participant feels like they had all the opportunity to make the proper choices. Now, at the end of the day, it's their choices. You know, it's a defined contribution plan. They have to make those final choices. I can't do that for them. I can recommend, I can advise. But, I mean, you hate to say never, because all of a sudden it'll happen tomorrow. But we've never had a problem where a participant, you know, came back. Well, that's not true. We had one guy, he wanted to be 100% in cash. I had to get some letters signed by him that he understood the risks of being 100% in cash. He did it, by the way, for almost 12 years. It made absolutely no sense, but he was only in the money market account. Other than that guy, never had a problem with investments, with participants. Just proactive and help them as much as we can, you know, as much as they'll accept, actually.
So if
I answer that question?
Yeah, I think wonderfully. I appreciate that insight. If I'm one of the partners in an accounting firm that's listening to the podcast, and I like what I've heard, especially that last bit, because I think that's key. What's the process? Who do I reach out to start to initiate exploring a relationship with your 401k source? Like, who do they call? What's the process? What would you recommend is the best path for us to get in touch with you?
The easiest part is to call me on my cell phone, which is 561-762-7009.
Holy
I'll
cow,
say it at the
Bob.
End again. What's that?
Holy cow. You're just putting your cell phone out here on the podcast. That's impressive.
Yeah, it's fine. They can call me on the cell phone. It goes on Do Not Disturb at 7 at night, so we're good. But I'm available during the day. And listen, we have a 5-minute call. You know, they call me up and they say they have this company and let me hear the story. And they tell me what's going on. And in 5 or 10 minutes, we can figure out whether it makes any sense to continue on. Let's assume it makes sense to continue on. It'll be because of a situation. Testing, it's being ignored, there's a new person in there, they're getting bad investment advice, whatever the issue is, right? There's, you know, half a dozen different issues it might be. I then will ask the CPA to either collect information or introduce us, do a joint introduction to the person who is responsible for the plan at the company. And we'll do a call with that person going through what their issues are. And from there, I'll ask them to get to me documents. It might be investment documents. It might be administrative documents, logistical, whatever it might be. They'll get me the documents, right? And we generally will set up a Dropbox folder for them so they don't have to send any information with personal identifiable information. And from there, I'll then, my team starts reviewing it and figuring out what the issues are and how we might be able to fix the issues. Generally, it takes about a week. And then we'll do a call with the CPA going over what the issues are, what we perceive as some of the options for solutions, and have them, you know, participate in that call, because we always want to allow the CPA to look good in all this, that they help participate in some of the solutions to this. And there's a couple good ways to do it. And here's, you know, which one do you think it is? And they can have a discussion and we're off to the races. You know, we go from there.
And so it all begins with that phone call to your cell phone. And if it's before 7 at night or you're not out on the gun range, you're going to pick up and happy to have a conversation with our CPA firm members. That's awesome. You know, it's interesting. And as I mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, Bob, you know, you obviously take great care of us at Engineered Advisory at the Growth Partnership and all the affiliated companies that go into that. So thank you for that. But if you're listening to the podcast and this is an area that you'd like to pursue, I really encourage you to reach out to Bob and at least have the preliminary conversation to see if there's something that he might be able to do to partner with your firm to add his services to your menu of options. But then if there is a specific client that you know is having some issues and you want to connect the dots to see if you can't improve that situation, it sounds like it's pretty easy to invest some time in having a preliminary conversation and then see how the cards fall from there. Bob, anything for our audience before we let you go?
Yeah, if they just want to call and they just have a question and it's not a sales thing, it's just about, hey, I get this 401k plan or a defined benefit plan and this came up, whatever that might be. I can be a sounding board. I can just listen, you know, help you sort of walk through it, talk it through.
That's awesome. And thank you so much. I know a lot of our Habu members are very generous with their time to help the CPA firms navigate some of the technical questions that they themselves don't have an answer to. So that's appreciated. That'll do it for this latest edition of the podcast. Again, Bob Rubin with your401ksource.com. We look forward to connecting with you again on future episodes. And thanks so much for listening with us today. Take care, everybody.
Thank you, Jeff.
And there we have it. Another episode focused on helping our CPA listeners accelerate their firm's advisory practice. The Advisory Accelerator podcast is sponsored by the Engineered Advisory family of companies, Engineered Tax Services, The Growth Partnership, Able CRM, and Inside Public Accounting. Learn more about how we help CPAs accelerate their advisory practices at engineeredadvisory.com. Until next time, this is Jeff Paulo signing off and wishing you nothing but success as you transition your firm from compliance to advisory.